Welcome to AgriPulse Newsmakers, where we aim to take you to the heart of ag policy. I'm Spencer Chase. Our guest this week is Senate Ag Committee Ranking Member John Bozeman, who joins us to offer the latest on where things stand with the Farm Bill. But first, here's this week's headlines. Congress is struggling to find a path to avoid a government shutdown at the beginning of October. As the deadline approaches, neither the House nor the Senate appears poised to offer a solution that would pass muster in the other chamber. House Ag Committee Chair Glenn G.T. Thompson told reporters earlier this week the government funding fiasco will likely delay consideration of a farm bill until at least November. A new report from the Government Accountability Office affirmed Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack's use of the Commodity Credit Corporation to fund the Partnerships for Climate Smart Commodities program. Republican Senator Roger Marshall of Kansas argued the program should be subject to restrictions from the Environmental Quality Incentives Program. GAO's general counsel said Vilsack's decision to use funds was justified under the CCC's statutory authority to expand domestic commodity markets. That report comes as USDA is preparing to spend $1.4 billion from the CCC to help promote American farm exports overseas. That action was first reported by AgriPulse and comes on the heels of a request from Senate Ag Committee leaders. Now, USDA is poised to fund a program expected to be similar to a Trump administration efforts to identify new trade markets. USDA also plans to spend another $1.1 billion to pay for commodity-based international food aid. Arkansas Republican John Bozeman was among those looking for CCC investment on the issue. He says even as the CCC falls under greater scrutiny on Capitol Hill, this particular program would be a worthy use of the fund.
I think it will make a big difference. Trade is the lifeblood of agriculture. In Arkansas, 40% or so is exported. That's true throughout the country. So we've got to have the attitude that we've got one customer here and hundreds throughout the world. Sadly, the administration has not done a very good job on trade. We're in a situation now for the last few years, we're actually importing more than we're exporting, which literally would have been unheard of. So we've got to do a much better job that this will allow us to go forward. And we'll see if this is adequate or not. If it's not, then I'm committed to, trying to find additional funds so that we can move in that direction.
Mm-hmm. Well, sticking with the CCC here for a bit, this is your party to a request for the administration to use the CCC in this way. At the same time, many of your colleagues on Capitol Hill are seeking to curtail the secretary's use of the CCC. Is CCC authority something that needs to be expanded or protected?
I think it needs to be curtailed somewhat. What I want to make sure is that the dollars are used directly for farmers. And when you're talking about trade promotion, that certainly is going to benefit every farmer in America. Also, when you're talking about taking, farm commodities and then sending those overseas rather than money, that also helps the American farmer. So I am concerned that it's used very loosely, not only in this administration, but in the last administration. But we do need to make sure that it's used directly for farmers, not corporations, not all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Pivoting over to specifics on the Farm Bill, earlier this year on this program, you said you were not going to be able to support a Farm Bill that did not improve commodity supports for producers. As we continue negotiations on that Farm Bill, as you and your colleagues do, are you confident that the legislation that you put before the committee is going to be able to do that?
No, we have to do that. We're in a situation now where rural America is dramatically losing population. All that's left there is farmers. When you look at the input cost that farmers have already received, you look at the future, those are not going to go down. Labor costs aren't going to go down. Equipment cost, we're stuck with high interest rates for a while. The world is so different now than it was when most of this data was based on. The 2018 Farm Bill was based on 2012 data, over 10 years. The world is totally different than it was, as opposed to early 2021 when all of the inflation started.
We'll have more from Senator John Bozeman right after this.
Regenerative poultry production is a process by which nature can actually recapture and restore the energy that is being taken out of a space.
Farm Credit helped Rahi build his dream of regenerative poultry farming and encouraging fellow immigrants to find community in agriculture.
Nothing beats a farm. I'm just pursuing happiness.
Learn more at farmcredit.com/beginning.
At Clean Fuels Alliance America, we're working toward a future of clean energy now that will make our members proud. We serve as the clean fuels industry's primary organization for technical, environmental, and quality assurance programs, and are the strongest voice for its advocacy, communications, and market development. With industry-leading programs and incentives, Clean Fuels Alliance America is actively moving the clean fuels industry forward toward a brighter future.
Welcome back. Senate Ag Committee Ranking Member John Bozeman says his travels across the country inform his belief that the next farm bill should raise commodity supports across the board.
Certainly, I'm going to support southern commodities. I'm going to support the Midwest. You know, the Dakotas are different. California is different. Florida is a little different. All of the regions of the country, they all have different needs. And so we're not going to have a farm bill if we don't get everybody pulling in the right direction. I think that's certainly something I learned in the 2013-14 farm bill. If you don't have agriculture united, it just doesn't work. So no, we've got to have all of the different groups regionally and then commodities united so that we can get a farm bill passed. I don't see how we can commit our farmers for five more years doing the same thing that we're doing now when we look at the data and know that things have changed dramatically and are going to continue to change for a while. We've got to get our risk management tools, all of them, for all regions, getting them for all crops so that they can go forward and make a living and us continue to have the cheapest, safest food supply of any place in the world.
Mm-hmm. I want to wrap up talking about the Inflation Reduction Act funds and how those might be incorporated into this upcoming farm bill. We've seen a lot of talk on that. And I guess my question is, how do you differ in your approach versus some of your colleagues, both on your side of the aisle and the other?
Now, I think we have to remember where the Inflation Reduction Act dollars came from. This was done through reconciliation. No Republican had any input in these dollars. We're talking about $20 billion or so sitting aside, another $10 billion for rural America. It's a tremendous amount of money. So much money that CBO says that if we did bring it into the farm bill, they wouldn't score it dollar for dollar because they don't think USDA's got the ability to actually spend all those dollars. They don't have the manpower. So what I've said is, in order to bring that in, we are going to have a voice. We're going to get input from Republicans and Democrats, all of them. And then most importantly, there's no farm producers. None of the farm groups were involved in this at all. So we want to look at the practices. We want to have input. I respect Secretary Vilsack, but he's not going to be the decider. And so if it goes in the farm bill, now those things can stay outside the farm bill and they'll be spent and all of those things. But I just feel very strongly that whatever we do in the farm bill is going to be where we have input from everyone. So they've got some problems. We're quite willing to help clean those up. If they don't want us to do that, then they can stay outside the farm bill and maybe the next administration will have input. But that's really where I'm at.
Mm-hmm. Wrapping up here, wondering as the days get closer and closer to the end of the fiscal year, end of the calendar year, I wonder, do you think 2023 Farm Bill Committee markup is something that is still on the table, or is that going to get pushed into 24?
No, we're working really hard on it. And I've worked together very well with Chairwoman Stabenow and our counterparts over on their House side. G.T. Thompson, Congressman Scott. And so I think we all have great respect for each other. We can do this, but I think we all realize that we have to work together and be on the same team, or it doesn't get done. So our staff now are putting things on paper. We're going through this period right now where we're concerned about getting the government funded. You look into the future, there's not that many days left. So I wouldn't be surprised if we had to have an extension, but we want to get this done as quickly as possible. On the other hand, you hear people say, well, we got to do something. No, we've got to do the right thing. And we're in a situation now where we desperately have to make it such that we get our risk management tools in place. Research is important, all of these things. Get those in place as we move forward, or I would advocate that we're better off not doing a farm bill. The way I've heard it summed up best, I was in North Dakota, and a lady looked at me and said, "Senator, we need to put more farm in the farm bill, and we're working really hard to do that."
Senator Bozeman, thanks for joining us. We'll be right back to hear from this week's panel, but first, our Hannah Pagel walks us through some upcoming farm bill deadlines in this week's Farm Bill Focus.
As the looming September 30th Farm Bill deadline approaches, it's important to note many of the programs in the legislation won't actually expire on that date. Farm Bill programs essentially have two deadlines, the end of the fiscal year and the end of the crop year. The fiscal year runs through the end of every September, while the crop year expires at the end of every calendar year. This chart shows a sample of Farm Bill programs and their expiration dates. Funding for the Conservation Reserve Program and the Market Access and Foreign Market Development Trade Promotion Programs will expire at the end of this month. Many familiar commodity programs, like the Dairy Margin Coverage Program, are authorized through the end of the year, but the Agriculture Risk Coverage and Price Loss Coverage Programs are authorized through the commodities marketing year. While many of the programs fall along these deadlines, there are a few exceptions. Crop insurance is permanently authorized and not affected by the Farm Bill process. And even though the Farm Bill sets the rules for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP is authorized annually through the appropriations process. For AgriPulse, I'm Hannah Pagel.
Who mapped the soybean genome? You did. Who's replacing the petroleum and asphalt? You are. Who created biodiesel that increased your income 63 cents per bushel? You again. When you pool your resources through your soy checkoff, you're making sales. You're making breakthroughs that all come back to your bottom line. That's you. That's who. As your soy checkoff, moving soy forward, moving you forward.
Farmers are always there for each other. We shed tears together. We celebrate together, but we also grow together. Farm Bureau is the largest general farm organization in the country. We have the farmers back. If you're a farmer and you're not a member, we would welcome you into our Farm Bureau family. And if you want to know more about agriculture, come be part of this great family.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Newsmakers. Going to have our panel discussion now with a couple of folks keeping a very close eye on the news in Washington, D.C., joined by Laura Wood Peterson with LWP Consulting, as well as Robbie Minich with the National Cotton Council. Appreciate both of you taking the time to join us. And Laura, I want to go to you first, because obviously a lot of things to watch in this farm bill debate, and especially with the purpose of possible repositioning of some Inflation Reduction Act money within the farm bill. So I wonder, the big debate right now is whether or not the climate part of that climate smart funding should remain intact. I guess, how would the repositioning of that IRA money and removing that climate specific verbiage within it and putting it into the farm bill, how would that impact some of these, the adoption of some of these climate smart ag practices?
It couldn't be a more complicated time to think about how to deal with baseline issues and merging two different authorizing legislation into one. But I've been trying to think of this in a very sophisticated outline of who, what, and when. We really can't get to the IRA question yet. I do believe the Chairwoman Stabenow's comments have been pretty clear on this. But I'm going to think about how SAG and how SAG Chairman has a question around who. who is it even negotiating with, right? Even if the who, being the whole committee on the House Ag side, could get something done, you still have a lot of challenge with the House floor. And so to think about IRA money, I think we also have to think about what are we negotiating on? If CBO is scoring existing language with the December bill and the government shuts down, who's going to be scoring an extension and for how long? And if that changes outlays based on a short-term agreement, it gets really complicated to think about which year we're in IRA money to pull it into the baseline. Because as you know, it increases in year 25 and beyond. I kind of looked at U of I's FarmDoc assessment on this, and I feel like you almost think of David Spade. Was there a niner in there? It's just so many moving pieces to think about IRA and baseline. And then when would this be? Going back to my first point, I think it's a ways away. Would it change how farm bill programs are run? No, we know they're oversubscribed. And we know that, you know, large percentages of what is needed from a farm bill have not been there in the past.
Well, and you mentioned some of the oversubscription issues, and I do wonder, do you think USDA and some of these partner organizations are going to be able to sufficiently staff up to meet the increased demand that they might be receiving because of these additional IRA resources for these conservation programs?
Yes, I do. I think it's a challenge to look at all kinds of staffing issues across the economy. Labor, as everyone knows, is a huge problem, and in natural resource management, there are quite a few technical skills required in conservation planning and other areas. But I do think a lot of partners are showing up. Conservation districts and others that have been there for a long time are really excited about what's possible. And we've been saying for a long time, we need more funding. We also now need more people. And I think it's all part of the process of moving into a next generation workforce.
Mm-hmm. Robbie, I want to bring you into the fold here because as everyone who follows farm policy closely knows, it's one of those issues that's less partisan and more regional. And as someone who represents one of those southern commodities on Capitol Hill, I do wonder, what do you envision as some of the major regional agricultural policy issues that are going to need to be sorted out as Congress moves toward updating this next farm bill?
One of the ones that I'm sure that will come up as it has virtually, I've been doing farm bills for 20 years, and it's been in every one of them, is payment limitations. And obviously, with Senator Grassley, this has always been, even since my days in the Senate, a very big issue for him, something that he has really chased after, and something that we've debated and made changes and updates throughout farm bills. And so I think that will certainly be one. You know, I say it's a regional issue, but quite honestly, with as farms have grown and farmers tried to, you know, meet and get new efficiencies to be productive and be able to continue farming, a lot of times they've gotten larger. And that's not just a southern issue, that's across the country. And so, you know, I think we're going to have those issues. But at the same time, you know, I do believe that all four corners of the House and Senate Agriculture Committees understand and really appreciate and want to get to a farm bill that works for all commodities in all regions.
We'll have more from our panel right after this.
Did you know AgriPulse has all your favorite podcasts, including Open Mic, Newsmakers, and Drive Time? Take us wherever you go. Subscribe at AgriPulse.com or on Spotify, Google Play, or Apple Podcasts.
Agriculture Future of America is a nonprofit building transformational leaders in food and agriculture. AFA prepares college students to join the workforce as innovative and engaged young professionals who will shape the future of agriculture. Head to agfuture.org to find out how you can get involved.
It's not as simple as just to wake up one day and go, I want to be a conservation farmer. You're changing how your farming practice is done. You're changing your operation.
Farm Credit supported John and Kelly Watley as they shifted to more sustainable farming, improving the environment where they farm and live. Learn more at farmcredit.com/climate.
Welcome back. Robbie Minich with the National Cotton Council says producers across the country can justify their request for increased support in the next farm bill.
The need is real. And I see it in our industry. I see it with our producers, and it's not just us. It's across a lot of commodities and a lot of groups and And you know, it's because of, you know, multiple factors and multiple reasons. But whenever I talk to my producers and they say, look, I put in the most expensive crop I've ever done, and I've been farming for 40 years, and the prices are average, you know, that makes it tough, because right now the safety nets that are there are really not effective. The structure is sound, but the levels that they are set at just make them ineffective right now. With the Farm Bill, you know, making these improvements, whether it's to benefit, you know, textile manufacturers or producers, at the end of the day, what you're doing, because of the ripple effect, is making improvements and investing in rural America. And that's why we really have to see those.
Mm-hmm. We did hear some comments recently from House Ag Chair G.T. Thompson saying that perhaps an across-the-board increase to reference prices might not be fiscally in line. But I gotta wonder, do you think increasing supports for certain commodities but not others is something that's going to be politically viable in a farm bill?
You know, I certainly think that would be tough. You know, I understand the fiscal realities, and I think whenever you look at what the commodity groups are asking for, there might be some ways to thread a needle to make that work, and everyone gets something that benefits their growers, and again, helps us get to a farm bill that works for all commodities and all regions.
Mm. Laura, I want to wrap up asking you about some news that we saw Wednesday out of the Government Accountability Office. They decide that Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack was within his CCC authority, using that as the funding mechanism for the Partnerships for Climate Smart Commodities program. So knowing that, and knowing that the program's on, you know, better, more solid footing from a, you know, perhaps a legalistic standpoint, what do you think is going to be the potential of this program and the projects within it?
Yeah, that was a very clear signal on the use of the CCC. And as we've seen, even outside of a farm bill context, quite a great deal of spending has occurred through the CCC over the last few years. So it's becoming more and more important for the secretary to be able to respond to all kinds of challenges that come up. And clearly, the connection between climate change and marketing, you know, commodities is a concern. And I think these projects are going to be really interesting in terms of some of the private sector partnerships that may bring new models and new funding into this space that is leveraged through public sector dollars.
Laura and Robbie, thanks for joining us. We'll be right back with more AgriPulse Newsmakers, but first, our Hannah Pegel walks us through some conservation staffing needs in this week's Ag by the Numbers.
USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service is trying to hire enough staff to handle a surge in funding from the Inflation Reduction Act. The IRA directed $18 billion toward conservation efforts like the Conservation Stewardship Program and the Environmental Quality Incentives Program. But USDA doesn't have the staff it needs to handle the influx of funding and the demand for technical assistance that comes with it. This chart shows an estimate of how many people NRCS still needs to hire from fiscal year 2023 to fiscal year 2026. All told, the agency estimates nearly 4,500 jobs will need to be filled in the NRCS workforce, and just shy of 3,000 will be filled by partner organizations. The agency is also working to address training needs, which has been challenged by the lack of university soil science education. The hands-on nature of the work also means virtual training is often not an option. For AgriPulse, I'm Hannah Pegel.
Who mapped the soybean genome? You did. Who's replacing the petroleum and asphalt? You are. Who created biodiesel that increased your income 63 cents per bushel? You again. When you pool your resources through your soy checkoff, you're making sales. You're making breakthroughs that all come back to your bottom line. That's you. That's who. As your soy checkoff, moving soy forward, moving you forward.
Looking closer, seeing further. That's how we do it. At Curious Plot, we're driven to find what's next for agriculture, animal care, and food. We stay curious because that's what it takes to grow understanding. That's how we plot strategies and tell stories that get results time after time. Marketing, communications, and consulting that look closer and see further. Curious Plot. We can't wait to help you tell your story.
Thanks again for tuning in for another episode of AgriPulse Newsmakers. Before we let you go, here's what's on the horizon for the upcoming week. Monday, we'll bring this year's Ag Outlook Forum in Kansas City. Registration is still available to join us online or at the event. The Senate Ag Committee will hold a Wednesday hearing on foreign ownership in American agriculture. And be sure to tune into next week's AgriPulse Newsmakers, where I'll be reporting from a USDA trade mission in South America. We'll keep you up to date with our coverage on AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Newsmakers, I'm Spencer Chase. Have a good one. Newsmakers is a production of AgriPulse Communications. For more ag policy news, visit AgriPulse.com. You can also find our new content on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to follow AgriPulse and our correspondents on social media to get breaking news and more.